Begin the current Daf, Masechtas Menachas Daf Pei Tes. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues elucidating the halacha of the previous Mishnah, which was describing, continuing from the previous Mishnah, the seven different measurements that apply to liquids in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Mishnah said, Chatzi loig shemen l'tayda. Now, there was a measurement that was a half a loig that was utilized for the oil that was used for the breads of the carbon tayda. So the Gemara brings a braisa that elaborates on this halacha. Tanya learned the braisa. Kiva Imri says, what is the utility of when it says by the carbon tayda, by the Thanksgiving offering regarding its breads, where there's four types of breads, it says, chalis belulis bashemen, that there are loaves, which is one of the types that's mixed with oil, and there's matzis meshuchim bashemen, and that is the matzah loaves that are anointed, that are smeared, these are the wafers, with oil. Why does it say it two times, if we know already that there has to be oil brought with the breads of the tayda? Says Rabbi Kiva, because Iluloi Nemer El B'Shem Anachad, had it only said one time that Allah would bring oil, so Yisrael would have said, Harehu Kukala Manachas Laloig, that it would be therefore like all other flour offerings that would have a leg of oil with that mincha. Achshav Shekasa B'Shem and B'Shem, but now that it says regarding the different breads of the Torah, the word in oil two times, Haveribu Acharibu, that's what's known in Halacha as an inclusionary term and another inclusionary term, because it's including oil and says it two times. Which is paradoxical that actually when you're doing a double positive, it actually comes out to be, it's diminishing. Which that actually it's saying that it's not going to be a loig like a regular mincha, but actually the oil that's going to be is going to be a half of a loig. As we said in the Mishnah, there's a half a loig of oil that was utilized for the breads of the Taidim, and that's what that measuring tool was used for. Now that is the Gemara, Ribach Ribui? What's Rabbi Kiva saying? Where do you see over here Ribui after Ribui? Chad Ribui Hu, there's only one extra inclusionary term, because the first time it says that there's oil, it's saying that it's the type of a flour offering that requires oil like all other menachas, which I would not have known had it not said in the context. When it says the next time, that's one Ribui, that's including something else. Where do you see Ribach Ribui? So Ella rather says the Gemara, say in the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, what he's saying is, no. Had it not said anything about oil whatsoever, I would have said no, that it's no less than any other flour offering. I would have said that it's all like all of the flour offerings that requires a lug of oil. But now that it says yes, even the first time, when it says both times that it requires oil, it's an inclusionary term after another inclusionary term, and therefore it's actually diminishing. Says Rabbi Kiva, this is the source how we know by the breads of the Taida that actually did not require a leg of oil, but rather only a half of a leg. Now, continues Rabbi Kiva, Yachal Yehei Chatzi Leg Zeh Meschalik L'Shleishas Minin. So you would think, okay, like we're saying, you bring a half a leg of oil for the breads of the Taida, that it should be equally divided amongst the three different types of breads. Now, that is because although there's actually four types, the fourth type, which is the chametz types, actually didn't have oil brought with it. So the three that did have oil brought with it, you would think it'd be equally divided, which are lechalis, those are the loaves, and these are all matzah types. Oler kikin and wafer, oler vichan, that's the one that's scalded. And therefore, says Rabbi Kiva, no. Kishoem, when the pasuk continues over there and says for a third time, Bashemen Brevicha, with an oil is going to be the scalded type, because the pasuk says, Vehikrval Zebecha Taida, that you should sacrifice together with the carbon Taida. So we said, Chalis Matzis Belulis Bashemen, that's the first time it mentions by the Chalis. Vrikikim Matzis Beshuch Bashemen, and it says the second time by the Rikikin. So that we explained already why it says it. The oil, and it says Ribacharibi, which is coming to be Mamait, okay, we'll only bring a half of a leg. Then it says a third time. It says Veselis Murbeches, which is the flour that's scalded. Those are chalos, these are loaves that are blulis bashemen, that is mixed with oil. So up until now, we had expounded the first two times to mention shemen. Now Rabbi Kiva is saying, what is the third time at the end of the pasuk coming to say? Because like Rabbi Kiva says, Shein Tam Aleimer, here he's not teaching us anything, because we already find elsewhere that a revucha, that a scalded flour offering, has oil. Where do we find it? By the chavitin, which is the Kohen Gadol, when he brings a minchas machavas, it says, al machavas b'shem and tasem urbachas. Says that the scalded flour offering is brought with oil. So it's not teaching us anything by saying that the revuch over here is having oil, because we already know that. Rather, says Rabbi Kiva, so what is the pasuk teaching us? Reba shem and l'revicha. It's coming to increase the quantity of the oil, specifically for the scalded flour offering from the four types of breads that are brought with the carbon taita, to say that it has more of the oil than the other two types. Okay, it's at house. So Rabbi Kiva, what you do is as follows. Mevi chatzel leg shemen. as we said, unlike other flour offerings which have a leg of oil, here you bring half a leg of oil. V'chaytei, when you split that half into half, chetzei l'chalas rikik, and half of that, which is a quarter of the leg, is used for both, where you split up that quarter into half for the chalas and the rikikin, for the loaves and the wafers, v'chetzei l'ravicha, and the other half is used solely for the scalded one, which is, again, double of the quantity of each one of the chalas and the rikikin. So that's how Rabbi Akiva explains the halacha of our Mishnah. However, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he says, Akiva, if the whole day you keep on increasing quantities of how much should be brought for the oil, for the breads of the Taida, by saying it says one time the word Beshemen, another time, says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Eini Shemelach, I'm not going to listen to you like you want to say that, it's a riba acharibui, and that's how you know that it's not a full leg, it's only half a leg. Says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, no. Because like we said, the first time it says shemen, you needed to say that it has oil. He doesn't agree with Rabbi Akiva the way we explain them that, you would have known it's no less than other flour offering. No, we don't know. There are flour offerings that don't have oil. The first time it says is necessary. So you don't have a riba chariba, so where do you know that it's not going to be a leg, and it's only going to be a half a leg? Ella rather, to the contrary, if anything, it has now only one riba, which should include, not diminish. Ella rather says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Chatzi leg shemen l'taida, this halacha that we're discussing, that is for all the three types, that you can have only a half a leg of oil for the three types of the carbon taida. And another halacha, of revias shemen, that there's a quarter of a leg of oil for all the breads of l'nazar, that the nazar brings. And v'achad asa yoyim shebe nida l'nida, and the 11 days that there are between the periods of a nida, which is after a woman finishes her days of nida, of menstruation, then till the next time she starts those days of Nida, there's no less than 11 days. Now the reason for this, understand what this halacha that is being described over here, is that after the 7 days of Nida that a woman was a Nida, then she's not going to be able to become a Nida again, which has unique halachas. Not every time that there's Dam that a woman becomes a Nida, there's specific halachas of Nida and Zava. She's not going to become a Nida again until there's a period of 11 days, even if she sees blood, after she finished her days of Nida, they're actually going to be not called Nida, it's actually been called Ziva. And if she doesn't see in those 11 days, Dam, or if she sees only 1 day, or only 2 days consecutive, or even if it's 3 days, but it's not consecutive, for example, 1 day she does see, 1 day she doesn't see, that's in halacha called Shemeris Yayim. She safeguards that day, correlating to the day that she saw, just to make sure that the next day, another, that she didn't see anything, and then she could immerse the following day. Now, if she sees 3 consecutive days during those 11 days, then she becomes a Zava, and then she has to count 70 clean days without seeing any Mara of Dam, and then she brings a carbon engine, and then she becomes Tar. Now, but after those 11 days, if she sees Dam then she becomes what's known as a Nida. So if, let's say, on that first day she sees Dam, she has to wait 6 days, including that day, and even if she sees Dam for those entire 7 days, but before the end of the 7 days she stops seeing Dam, she can still immerse herself that evening, and she doesn't have to count 7 clean days and to bring a carbon from according to biblical law. That's unique to Nida in contrast to Zava, which is that 7 and then 11 and then going back to 7. That's the difference between the halachas, and therefore when she finishes Nida, she's not going to become the Nida procedures until a period of 11 days. Now, however, the Jewish women were stringent on themselves, that no matter when and no matter how, if they see even a drop of blood the size of a mustard seed, that they do wait and make sure that there's 7 clean days before they considered pure and permitted to their husbands, which this was over a period of many years that the Jewish women conceded that this should be the way it is because of different confusions regarding the counting of the days of Nida. But says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, all these halachas that I just mentioned, including the one that you had spoken about, a half a leg of oil for the Karmen Taida, halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. They're all halachas that are traditions from Moshe Rabbeinu from Har Sinai, and it's not learned out from a pasuk, and therefore he disagreed with the source for this halacha, which, again, we said, the chatzi leg of Shem L'Taida, therefore we had a special measurement for that. Where do we know that from? According to Rabbi Akiva, from a ribach or a ribui, which is l'mayit. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we know it from halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. Now, the Mishnah said that beloig hayamaydid, regarding regular menaches, what you would do is you would measure with a loig, like we said here by the shemen of the taidu, was in contrast with the hefalig, but generally every mincha was an isarin that had a lug of oil with it. Now there was a machlekes in the Mishnah between Tanoim regarding, well, what's the halacha of, let's say there's many isarinis, let's say someone brings a mincha of 60 isarinis, what do you do? Do you bring then still one lug of oil? no matter what size the mincha is? Or do you bring for every Isarin another leg of oil? So if you bring 60 Isarin, then you would bring 60 legin of oil. Now, elaborating on this machlekes, the Gemara says, Tana v'nalein abraisa. B'mitzayra aniksiv. By mitzayra, there's a unique halacha, like in a few other instances, what's called a korban oil v'yerid. If he's wealthy, he brings animal korbanos. If not, he brings birds or flower offerings if he can't afford it. So by mitzayra aniksiv, by a very poor mitzayra, when he's coming to purify himself, he can't afford animal or even bird sacrifices. So the pasuk says, b'yikra, he brings actually a flower offering. And it describes it, it says, isarin, as the pasuk there says, saylas, isarin of flour, echad, one, that's bol, that's mixed in oil, bashem and lamincha for a flower offering, the loig and the loig of oil. So like we said, this pasuk is by Metzayra, that's Ani, and each Tan is going to interpret this pasuk according to his understanding. The first opinion, the Chacham, they say, Lima, this pasuk is teaching, Al Isarin Shatan Log, that it says, it's Nisarin that's mixed with a loig of oil, Divrei Chacham. So you see that per Isarin, you need a loig. Now, Reb Nechemiah, Reb Eliezer, and the Gir says, Ben Yaakov, Oymim, they say, no. Afil mincha shashishim Yisraelim, as we had this machlekes in the Mishnah, even the flour offering that's 60 Yisraelim, 60 tenths of an ephah, ain't la'ilu leiger, there's only going to be one leg of oil. Shenema, like it says over there in the Pasuk, it says, le mincha, for the flour offering, which sounds like no matter what the size it is, even if it's very large, v'loig shemen, and a leg of oil. Now, ask the Gemara, okay, Reb Nechemiah, Reb Eliezer, Ben Yaakov, like, what do they would do with that pasuk? Similarly, the Chacham are correct in this pasuk that it says that it's Nisarin that needs a loig. But if you have two Israelim, two loigin, 60 Israelim, 60 loigin. And they're saying that no matter what the size it is, you only bring one loig of oil. Says the Gemara, now they hold Hahula Gufe. This pasuk is teaching the actual halacha of the Mitzayra Ani, the Ka'am Rahman, the Laisichad Isarin. The Torah is telling you that you have to bring one Isarin. It's not saying one Isarin because per Isarin it's a leg. No. The truth is, no matter what size it is, it's going to be a leg. So why does it mention an Isarin for a leg? Because it has to tell you how much flour do you bring for the Mitzayra Ani's flour offering, which is an Isarin. But V'idach Lechacham would tell you, no, the Gufei Leitzarach, we don't need that to tell you the context of the actual halacha of the Mitzayra, the Ani, because Medigali Rachamana Gav Mitzayra, since the Torah revealed to us by the Mitzayra who is wealthy, that Gimel Karban is V'Gimel Esrein is, what does he do? He brings three animal sacrifices with 3/10 of an ephah of flour. So Hach Lechad Karban here, where he brings one sacrifice, Chad Yisrein, it's going to be one. So we already know it's going to be one, because we know that from the ratio of the Mitzayra that's Asher. So why does it say Isarin? To say, oh, when is it one like? When is one Isarin? Two Isarin is two like. That's why they disagree with Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Now, but V'idach, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov would tell you that Itzuch, no, it was necessary. Why? They don't agree to the Chacham who say that you would have known had it not said Isarin. Because Sogat HaTachemini, you would have thought to say, Hoyel V'chas Rachman Olah, Lasuya B'dalas. We find that Torah is concerned and merciful on this poor person, that he could bring a very poor, very cheap carbon. He's not bringing what it's supposed to bring, which are animal sacrifices. And the gear says, mincha klaus. I would think he doesn't have to bring a flower offering at all. He just brings that one sacrifice, and actually would not have to bring even one Isarin. That's why I have to say Isarin, that he brings an Isarin. But ve'idach, the Chacham would tell you, that no, legamri, totally to exempt the even the poor mitzayra from the carbon of a wealthy person, lo yashkechan. We don't find that he could be totally exempt from bringing any mincha whatsoever. So, therefore, that's why the Chacham hold that we're going to maintain the ratio, since by the wealthy person he brings three Isarinis, by the poor person he obviously has to bring at least one Isarin because he can't get over without anything, and that's why they said we would have known it. Why did it say it? To tell you that, yes, because per leg, that's how much you have to bring Isarinis. Now, the Gemara had asked on Rabbi Nechemiah and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov from the Chacham source, now asked Rabbanan, Hai lemincha v'loig shemen my avdilei. What do they do with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's pasuk that sounded like lemincha, no matter how big it is, it could even be 60 Israelis, you're still going to have one leg of oil, which is not like the way they the way they hold the halacha is. Says the Gemara, Hu lemisnadev mincha. That they say that pasuk is coming to teach for someone who's donating a flour offering, Shle yifchis midaver hatoin loig. It's telling you, you cannot bring less flour than something that usually needs a leg of oil. Now, what is that that usually needs a leg of oil? That's Nisarin. But it's not teaching you that no matter what size the mincha is, you have a leg of oil. It's saying, when you're donating a mincha, then you should bring the amount of mincha that requires a leg, which is Nisarin. You could learn out both things from this pasuk. One regarding the mincha, that it's a type of mincha when you donate, should be the amount of flour that needs a leg of oil. But it's also teaching you regarding the mincha, regarding the amount of oil, that the leg of shemen is also going to be according to, no matter how big the mincha is, it says whatever the mincha is only going to be one leg of oil. Now the Mishnah continued and said that shisha lapar, there were six legen of oil that were brought for the nesachim of the par, arba la'ayil, four for the ram, and shlesh lekebes, and three for the lamb, which that was that they had these nesachim, actually two types of nesachim. When we brought a carbon, there was the flour libations, which were burnt on the mizbeach, and there was also the wine libations, which were poured down the side of the mizbeach. And the ox required six, and the ram required four legen, and the lamb required three. So now that's the Gemara Menon. Where do we know this from? Says the Gemara, because the Chassidus says the pasuk in the Midbar. It says v'niskeim, and their libations, chatzia hin yil apar. A half of a hin should be for the bull, and it goes on and says that revias a hin la'ayil and shlish lesin, and it says the less as it goes along for the kebis. But what is that amount? So explains the Gemara, hin is tres lugi havin. The hin is 12 lugin, which again, that's how we know proportionally if it's a chatzah hin or a shlichas hin or a visa hin, how much is going to be accordingly for the par, for the isle and the kevis. So that's what the Gemara is describing, that the hin is 12 lugin. So again, the par, for example, which is a half of a hin, like the pasuk says, is going to be six lugin, as we're describing in our Mishnah. Now, how do we know this? Because the pasuk says in Shemais, shemen zayis hin. The olive oil that they needed for the shemen amishcha was a hin. Now, Uksiv in the pasuk describes that Shemen Mishra Kaidish, referring to the amount of olive oil that you needed for the anointing, the holy anointing oil, says Hashem, Yezeh li l'derisechem, this should be for me for your future generations. Now, Zeh, that is saying this, begematria, Treis HaHavim, the gematria, the numerical value of the word Zeh, Zion is 7, He is 5, is 12. That tells us that a hin was 12 lugan, and again, that's how we know the amounts proportionally and accordingly for the power, the island, the kevas. Now the Mishnah continues and says, "And shleisha mechts l'menayra. There is 3.5 legin that are required for the candelabra every single night. Chatzi leg l'choner. Each one of those lamps, which were there were 7 of them, required a half of a leg." Says the Gemara, "Nanamili, how do we know this?" It's turned around because we learned in the Brisa. It talks about regarding the lighting of the menorah every night. It says me'erev ad baker, that it's lit from evening till morning. Says the Brisa, what does that mean? Tenla midasa. It says that you should give that measurement. Shatehei delekes veileches me'erev abayka, that it should light from evening until morning, which we're going to shortly explain as a half a leg. Now, davach, another interpretation. What does it mean me'erev abayka, from evening until morning? That ein lecha avayda shekshayir me'erev, because there's nothing else. This should be contiguous. There's no other service in the Beis HaMikdash that's valid from the evening, meaning from the sun sets onward, ad baker up until the morning, el azay bovad, only this avayda of lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. No, but as we mentioned before, Bishira Chacham, the sages evaluated Chatzi Loig Me'urtev Atzafa, that it requires, if you want to estimate, and that's how much you have to put in, as we described the Halacha and the Mishnah, a half a loig in each lamb from evening until morning to make sure, no matter how long the night is, that it's going to burn the entire night. Now, Ikadami, there are those who say Melmala Lamata Shiru, that the way they went through this process of evaluating how much oil was necessary to burn throughout the night, they evaluated from the top down, meaning that they first start off with more than a half of a leg, that to see if that's what's going to be required to burn through the night, but they didn't start lower down. So when they came to that conclusion that it's going to be a half a leg for each lamp every single night, what they first did was they first brought a full leg to test out, and it lit the whole night, and even lit the whole following day. So then second night they went, they brought, okay, 2/3 of a leg, and it still lit more than the whole night when it was already sun, the sun had already come up. So they did this many nights until they went lower and lower and tritated till they came down to half a leg, and that lit the entire night and just the entire night. But they didn't test it out from lower going all the way up till it lit the whole entire night. That's one opinion. Now, Ve'igadam, there are those who say that, no, Mimata Lamala Shira, they evaluated from lower to higher. They started with a much lower amount, and they got up until they got the amount that it was going to light the whole entire night. I think Gemara explains the reason for their machlekes. Manda me mimata lamala shira, the one who says that what they first did was, they said, okay, let's start off with a quarter of a leg. And didn't light the whole night, only lit a half of a night. Now, the second night, they added a little bit more, and then many nights, until finally, they got up to the amount of a half a leg that lit the whole entire night. But they didn't do from, let's say we said a leg, and get lower and lower, Because the reason is, whatever's left over in the lamp at the end of the night, meaning in the morning when they come, there's no utility of that oil. You can't use it. You have to spill it out. And they hold, HaTorah chasal mamayin shel Yisrael. The Torah was concerned about the money of the Jewish people. And therefore, instead of starting with a higher and getting down to the lesser amount, because they're going to have to throw out that oil, they started with lower amounts, although it didn't light through the night until they got to that amount. But according to the one that says that no, they started from higher going lower down, because they hold Einanias b'makom Ashiras, there's no poverty in the place of opulence of wealth, which is the Beis HaMikdash, is the temple, is the crown, the divine presence is there in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore that's a place of Ashiras, and we don't do it in a way of scrimping and saving, that yes, we'll have some waste, that's the way it is, and therefore they started Mimal Mata. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, as we were describing regarding the amount of oil that there were in the Minchas Nesachim, in the flour libations in the different Karbanas. So as we described, that there are different amounts, as we just explained the Halacha and the Mishnah, regarding the Parim, the Elim, the Kvasim, in their flour offerings, their flour libations that come into those Karbanas, there's different amounts of oil that are in their flour. Now, says the Mishnah, Ma'arvin Niske Parim B'Niske Elim. We could mix together the libations. Now, specifically, we're talking about the minchas nesachim. Those are the flour libations of the bull with the flour libations of the ram. Why? Because their proportion of their mixture of flour and oil is the same. Because they both have a ratio of 2 logan of oil for every yisar in the flour. Because we said before that there's 6 logan of oil for the par. Now, but however, the amount of flour was 3 esrainim. As the pasuk says, v'hikra ben abokar, which is the large animals, the par, is a mincha of seilas of gimel esrainim lapar, which is mixed, bol b'shem and chatziahin, which we described before, is 6 loigen. Now the ram, although it's only 4 loigen, but it had 2 esrainim of flour. That's the same ratio. So therefore, you can mix them together, and it's still going to maintain the consistency of what the flour everything's supposed to be, and therefore it can be sacrificed that way. Now, so too, niske kvasim b'niske kvasim. Let's say the libations of one lamb offering got mixed with the flour libations of another one. Since they're both 3 legin for every isar, and like the pasuk says, isar and echad, like kevesa echad, that's 1 isar and a flour for the lamb, which is bol b'shem and kasar v'yisahin, which is mixed in the amount of oil over v'yisahin, which we said, there's 3 legin, so they're the same amount, so that's okay. So too, shayachad b'shal tzibur. Let's say you have the lambs of individuals, minchas kvasim, and the tzibur's minchas kvasim. It's the same amount, they can be mixed together. Such as a continue to Amid Beis, Shal Yom B'Shal Emesh. We have today's flour libations with yesterday's. How so? If let's say someone brought yesterday his carbon without bringing the Nesachim. Because the Gemara elsewhere tells us, a person can bring his carbon today, and they can bring his Nesachim even 10 days later, like the Pasuk says, Menchasa B'Niskeim, which tells us, even at nighttime, even the following day. Now, however, as Rashi points out, as long as it wasn't sanctified in the vessel from yesterday, because the rails would be invalidated with lean and being left over. But that's what the Mishnah is telling us. If, let's say, today he's bringing a carbon with 2 nesachim with it, one because of the carbon that's bringing today and one because of his carbon from yesterday, that they could be mixed together if the karbanas are the same, where if, let's say, they're both kvasim, or they're both rams, or it's a paranai, where the same consistency, those flour libations can be mixed together. Aval, but says the Mishnah, however, Ema Arva Niske Kvasim, you cannot mix together the flour libations, which are the menachas, of the lamb, Beniske Parm Ve'elim, with the Nesachim of the ram and the bull. The reason for that is because the mincha, the flour offering of the bull and the ram, are thick, in contrast to the mincha of the Kvasim, because the consistency, like we said, is different. There's going to be more oil in the lamb. Now, the problem is if they're going to mix together, they're going to absorb one from the other. It's going to come out that the lamb is missing oil because it tends to even out, and the bull and the ram are going to have too much oil, so that they cannot be mixed together. Now, vimbalan eilu b'fnei atzman ve'eilu b'fnei atzman. But if, let's say, before they got mixed together, each one was mixed individually, which, therefore, the mitzvah of belila, of the oil, was already done, already that's finished. Now, however, we're just running into the problem about that they're being mixed together, and then b'nisarva, then they get mixed together. Says the Mishnah, okay, k'shem, then it's going to be kasher, which Rashi points out is like the Rabbanu who dispute Rabbi Huda and Perka Kremitz Rabba, where they say that if a dry mincha get mixed with a moist mincha, it's going to be, you could sacrifice it. So although that shouldn't be done, but it's going to be kasher. But, says the Mishnah, imat shalei balal. So let's say, however, each one didn't yet get mixed together individually yet fully, and they already got mixed together, the different menachas, then it's going to be possible because you at least have to have that it's fit to have bila, which you're not going to be able to have over here because you're already lacking in that of the lamb and you already have too much in, let's say, the one of the ram. So there's going to be possible because you didn't fulfill yet the mitzvah of bila and you don't even have the option. You don't have, it's not even rola bila. So then it's going to be possible. Now, it concludes the Mishnah. Relate halacha hakeves haboim o'imer, the lamb that comes with the carbon o'imer, the barley offering of the 16th of Nisan. Ava pisha mincha say kefula. So although that mincha that comes with the keves is going, the flour offering is doubled, like it says in Parashas Emor, u'mechase shnei esrayinim, that the flour offering is two esrayinim, in contrast, which usually the mincha is only one esarin. Lohoi nesachet kefulim, however, in spite of that, its libations were not doubled. It stayed the same amount as it is usually mincha. The only thing that was doubled was the flour, but all the other ingredients were not doubled. Now the Gemara, regarding the opening halacha of our Mishnah, asked the following contradiction. V'rminu, the halacha of our Mishnah seems to be contradicted for the following brisa. The pasuk says v'hiktiroi, that you should sacrifice it. Now it doesn't say v'hiktir, it says v'hiktiroi, it, which sounds like only it itself. Says the brisa, what that's teaching us is shlo ye'erev chalavim, a person should not mix together the fats, the sacrificial parts of this carbon, b'chalavim, with the sacrificial parts of another carbon. You have to sacrifice only this, can't be mixed with something else. So, seemingly, the same thing would apply to the Nesachim. That here also, you should only sacrifice this mincha by itself, not with another one. That contradicts the halacha of our Mishnah, which says that if, as long as it's the same consistency, you can mix them together. What's the difference between chalav and the fats of a carbon, which are also the same thing, says you can't mix them together, also Nesachim, which is not like the halacha of our Mishnah. So, Rabbi Yechonin says, not difficult. In this arvu ka'amar, our Mishnah was saying, if they got mixed together, then if the Nesachim of a parm got mixed with the Nesachim of Elim, okay, the consistency is the same, then it's going to be kosher. But you're right, like at Chilo, it's the halacha, it's like the brisa, that one initially should not go ahead and mix them together because of Viktira. On that is the Gemara, Ihachi, but if that's the case, then let's go to the end of the Mishnah, which said, however, Ve'ema arvin niske kvasim, but niske parm ve'elim. But you can't mix together the libations of a lamb with that of the bull and the ram because the consistency is different. And that is the Gemara, based on what Rabbi Yechon is saying. Sounds like, what, Vafil Nesarvu Namulay, that even B'diyevet, even after the fact, that then it's even then it's not going to be allowed, it's going to be possible? Because you're saying the halacha of even the ratio, which said that you could mix, it was only B'diyevet, after the fact. So here we're saying that you can't, must be saying that even after the fact, it's not going to be kosher. However, the terminology of the Mishnah doesn't sound like that. Because V'Hamagitani B'Seifa, because the Mishnah continues later on, and it says, oh, but if Balu Eilu B'Fna'atzman, the Eilu B'Fna'atzman, if let's say each one had first been mixed with their own oil separately, individually, and you already did the mitzvah Balila, and then the Nisarva, then they got mixed together, oh, then Ksharen is going to be valid. So Machlal, so the inference is the Reisha which said that Ein Ma'arvin, that you can't mix it together. What was that talking about? Like at Chilakama, it was talking about initially, because it's saying, Venis Arvu, well, then it's going to be kosher. Well, if the Sefer says that, Balu el bifne atzman, ve'el bifne atzman, venis arvu ksherin, where it says, okay, even though you shouldn't mix together these Nesachim of the Kvasim and the Parma Elam, but the Mishnah says, if you at least had done the mitzvah of Balila, you already fulfilled that obligation, each one individually, and then they mix together, there's going to be kosher. So Machlal the Reisha, it says the Gemara, obviously when the Mishnah previously had said that Eima Arvin, obviously that's only Ketchilakam, obviously that's only saying initially, because it says B'diyevet it's going to be kosher regarding the mixture. Belila you have to do. Regarding the mixture, it is kosher B'diyevet. So from the fact that when it's talking about that you cannot mix the parm with the kvasim, obviously we just proved it's only talking about Ketchilah, so then obviously regarding the mixture of the parm, the Elam, that Ma'arvin, obviously, it's also talking about like a tchila that you initially could. So back to the question. Obviously, it's not like Rabbi Yechonah had said that it's only imnis arvu. It's even saying that you could be ma'arv them, even in like a tchila. Well, that's contradicted by the Brisa. It says Viktir says that initially you're not allowed to go ahead and mix it because you have to only sacrifice it individually. So therefore, Omar Baye says a different answer. He says, most definitely, when our Mishnah says ma'arvin, as we had just proved, that it means even like a tchila. Yeah, you're allowed to go ahead and mix. Because since they're the same consistency, you can mix the minchas nesachim of the par with the ayil. And it's still not contradicted by the brisa which says v'hiktira. Because hachikama, this is what our Mishnah is saying. Ma'arvin yeinon. What are we talking about in the Mishnah? What do we think you can mix together by the niske. It doesn't say minchas. We've explained that all along. It says you can mix the nesachim, the libations of the par and the ayil. You know what that's referring to, says Abaye? It's referring to the wine. There's two libations, like we said. There's the flour libations and the wine libations. Says Abaye, it's referring to the wine. What's it saying? When could you bring and mix, even liketchila, the wine libations of the par and the ayil? It's im nisar of sultan b'shamnan. If the oil and the flour had already been mixed together, then one could go ahead and be ma'arav yenim liketchila. Now, however, the halacha is, as we're bringing from the braisa, regarding their oil and the flour, initially, no, you're not allowed to mix the par and the ayil, because you're right, it says victory, you have to sacrifice them separately. Because according to Abaye, the way he understands the Mishnah is as follows. When it says that you could mix the nesachim of the par and the ayil, it's referring to the wine. You can mix the nesachim of wine of the par with that of the rams, if, and this is how Abaye understands it, if their flour and the oil had already been mixed together. But if not, then you can't even mix together their wine. Why not? What's the problem about mixing their wines? That's not even sacrifice. Let's pour down the shisim. Let's pour down the sides. The reason for that is because maybe if we're going to let you mix their wines, you might come to also mix their flour and the oil, even the ketchila, and you're going to violate the halacha of viktiru. Now, that therefore, the halacha is that one cannot mix together there if they weren't mixed together. If they're already mixed together, okay, so it was already mixed together, so then there's no problem about making a gezer. But if they weren't mixed together yet, their flour and the oil, you can't mix together either their wine. Then the Mishnah continued, says that, however, one cannot mix together the niske yayin of parma and elim with that of lambs, even if, and this is how Abaye is understanding it, even if their flour and the oil had already been mixed together. Why? They're already mixed together, so there's no gezer of mixing their flour and the oil. So why can't you mix their wine? Why is it different than the par and the ayil? The reason is because, actually, if the flour and the oil of the par, let's say, they got mixed with the kevis, that's actually possible. It's invalid. Like we said, that's different consistency. That's not going to be valid. And therefore, you would have to bring new minchas nesachim for them. Now, the new ones, which wasn't brought yet, wasn't mixed together yet, because you have to bring new ones. Therefore, you can't mix the wine yet, because what was mixed already is not really considered mixed, because you have to bring new ones. Then the Mishnah continues and says, now, if these were mixed separately, and these were mixed separately, and then they get mixed together, that it's going to be kosher, that's where you allow to even then go ahead and mix the wine even like a tchila. But if, let's say, they weren't mixed separately yet, so then we said it's possible. So then we said if it's possible, then you can't mix the wine either yet, because like we said, because what was mixed is not invalid. You have to bring other ones to mix, and they are not mixed yet, so then you can't mix the wine, because if you mix the wine, you might come to mix the new silas and the shemen that you have to still bring. That's where Abaye interprets the halacha of the Mishnah. It's about the wine in the sachem and not the flour in the sachem. However, the Gemara asks, v'yeinu liketchila loya, are you really telling me that in, let's say, in a situation where if the flour and the oil wasn't mixed yet, that you now go ahead and initially mix their wines together? But Vatangal in the Braisa doesn't say like that. The Braisa says, Bamed, when do we say this, that you're not allowed to mix the minchas parm and the minchas kevasim? That's beseilas v'shemen. That's with their flour and the oil, because those are things that are sacrificed. They're burnt on the fires in Mizbech. That's including v'ktir. You have to burn it, only it individually. Avoyayin ma'arvim. It says the Braisa, wine, yeah, go ahead and mix all the time. It doesn't differentiate because it's not something that's burnt, so there's no problem about v'ktir, which refutes the interpretation of Abaye, who was saying, no, there's some times that we don't let, some things that we do let, because gzeira atu, the flour and the oil. Here you see that, no, the wine you're always allowed to mix together. So Elam Abaye, rather Abaye amends based on the question he just asked in the last Braisa on this interpretation. He says, Hachikama, this is how we understand the Mishnah and the two Braises. Heicha de hukter sultan b'shamnan, where there, and this is where you're changing specifically from regarding the mixture, which is being added on from the last Braisa. If their flour and their oil was already sacrificed, even if they were sacrificed according to their halacha individually, not mixed together, but each one of their menachis were already sacrificed, then ma'arvin yein liketchila. That's when the last Braisa was saying that yes, you could even initially, all situations, you go ahead and mix together their wines. That's how Abaye understands when they were saying avil yain ma'arvin, oh, when it's wine you can mix together. It meant, when can you always mix it together? If their silas and their shema is already burnt on the mizbech. Which, as Rashi points out, the Tana, the Braisa, who was saying b'med v'amur, when he was talking about the iser of mixing together the nesachim of the parm and the kvasim, the same thing the halacha would actually apply by mixing together the nesachim of the parm with the elim, with the rams. Now, because in the Tosefta, in the Braisa, it doesn't say any permissibility regarding mixing together the nesachim of the parm with the elim, Rather, all it says is you can't mix together the nesachim of the parm with the nesachim of the kvasim. So Abaye actually interprets the braisa as follows, not the way we had interpreted before. He learns that Halacha is actually qualifying, and all of it's talking about the nesachim of the yayin, this last braisa that we said. It's saying you're not allowed to mix together the nesachim of wine of parm and elim with that of the kvasim, but as Rashi says, the same thing would apply with the nesachim wine of the par, with the nesachim yayin of the rams. Because the way he reads the words of the last braisa is, when did we say this? What does that mean? So up until now, we read the braisa was saying, oh, the halacha of not being able to mix them together was only with flour and oil, but with wine, you could always mix it together. Abaye says, no, that's not how you read the braisa. But when did we say this issur of mixing their wine together? That's when the flour and the oil is still in front of us. When it says b'sayil v'shemen, it means if the flour and the oil is still around, because they weren't sacrificed yet, and then they get mixed together. But if there's only wine left, where the mincha is already sacrificed, that's what Abaye is understanding from the braisa. So then actually you were able to go ahead. That's what it's saying. Then you'd be able to even initially go ahead and mix. That's what it says about Yayin Ma'ariv, and then you could go ahead and mix the wine when it's not there. Now, so Gilgan and Rashi points out, so then why does it say specifically as it's qualifying the Bamed Vamurim when it's talking about that it doesn't say mixing the bull with the ram to say that even then it's forbidden to go to mix their wine together, which would have been a bigger chiddush, because even though the nesachim are the same, you'd say that you're not allowed to mix their wine together, which that's what Abaye is understanding. If the seiros and the shemen is around, you're never allowed to mix the wine, and if the seiros and shemen is already burnt, you're always allowed to mix together the wine. It's actually because it's coming to say the chiddush of the seifa when it's talking about the case of the parm and the kvasim, that if already the seiros and shemen were already burnt, that even so you're allowed to go ahead and mix the wine, even though that the nesachim are differently. But again, the way Abaye's understanding is that the Bryce is talking about when you're always allowed to mix the wine is only if the seiros and shemen is already burnt. But if let's say the oil and the flour of those karbanos were not burnt yet, which that's what we had learned in the Mishnah, that what it's saying is, that's where the Mishnah, the halacha of our Mishnah begins. Im nisarv saltan v'shamnan, if their flour and the oil had already mixed, as Abaye had just said before. He had to add on this piece because of the braisa that contradicts this interpretation. He had said, oh, it depends if they got mixed or not. But we said in the braisa, it doesn't depend. So he says, no, the braisa is talking about that when is it always permitted to mix the wine together if it's already burnt? Because we had said, when did we say the isra of mixing the wine? That's if the seiros neshamim is still around. That's what the braisa is talking about. Our Mishnah like begins after that. If, let's say, they weren't burnt yet, so then it depends. If their flour and the oil was already mixed, then says Abaye, like I said before in the interpretation of our Mishnah, then you're allowed to mix their wine together. But vimlav, if the flour and oil is not mixed together, then you're not allowed to mix it together, because like we said, dilma asir lerubi seiros v'shemen l'ketchila, then you might come to even initially go ahead and mix together their flour and oil, which would then be a violation of ektiru. So therefore, that's what our Mishnah says. So essentially, really, it's the same thing as Abaye's interpretation before. It's just that there's another element of that braisa which seemed to have contradicted him. That's what he interpreted. He says, no, the braisa is talking about regarding the burning of the seiros and the shemen. If they're still around, then we don't say it's always permitted. If they're not around, it's mutter l'ketchila. That Abaye would agree to. Our Mishnah is only saying that if they weren't burnt yet, so then there's still going to be situations when you could mix them together. If the flour is not burnt, but they were already mixed together, okay, so then there's no concern about we might come to mix it together, it's already mixed. Then you're allowed to go and mix their wines. But if it wasn't, that's when you're not allowed to go out and mix their wines as a gezeira, because you might come to mix, even though there's no biktira on that, but because it might come to violate biktira on mixing their flour and their oil. Now the Gemara continues with the Mishnah that said that it concluded by saying the keves abohem ha'omer, the lamb that comes with the omer, has its minchas nesachim, and although that the flour is doubled, but its nesachim are not doubled, said the Mishnah. So the Gemara elaborates on this halacha tarnabon linda braisa. It says in the pasuk im vayikra, which is in regarding to this keves, the lamb that comes with the omer, says u'minchas eshnei esrayim, the flour offering, the flour libations that come with that keves that comes with the omer is going to be two esrein, although usually it's only one esrein. It's going to be double that. Limud al keves habama omer. So this teaches the lamb that comes with the barley offering of the omer shemin chasik full, that its flour libations is double. Says the Braisa, Yachal Geshem Shemin Chasik Kefula. So you would think just like its flour element is doubled, kach yena kavul, so to its wine libations of this keves that comes with the omer should be doubled. Tamalema, as the pasuk teaches, no meniska yain, revesa hen, its nesachim of wine is going to be a quarter of hen like it always is. Yachal lo yehe yenu kavod. So you think, okay, fine, the wine's not going to be doubled. She'enin nivle mechase. That doesn't get mixed with the flour libation. The wine is poured on the corn of the mizbeach. The flour libations are burnt on the middle of the mizbeach. Avo yehe shamne kavod. But you think, okay, but the oil of this keves should be doubled, because shenivla lemechase, that gets mixed with the flour offering. And therefore, just like the flour gets doubled, so too the oil that gets mixed with it should also be doubled. Tamalema, that's because it teaches no meniskei, and its libations, that called nesachav lo yuel revius, that all its libations should only be revius, it's not going to be doubled. Says the Gemara Talmud, what exactly is the teaching? Where do you see from this veniskei, which actually, to the contrary, sounds like it's nesachav, which sounds like it's toma singular, which is toma the wine, because it's a veniskei yayin. But regarding the oil, you don't learn anything from here. What's the Brisa saying? That from here you see that you're not going to double the oil part of the nesacha. So Amar Balazi says, because ksiv veniska, it's written with a hey. The karina veniska, we only pronounce it with a vav, as if it was written with its nesacha. So Kate said, how so? Why is it the difference in how it's written and how it's pronounced? To tell you, the niska, the mincha, the libations, the pouring, the liquid of the flour offering, which is the shemen, should be kiniskai, should be like its nesachim, referring to the lamb, which is the yain of the wine, which is teaching this halacha, ma yain revi, is just like the wine is a quarter of a leg, af shemen am revi, so to the oil is going to be a quarter of a leg, it's not going to be doubled, although the flour element is being doubled. Now, relating back to this halacha, the Gemara says, Amar b'yichnan, it says, asham et the Mitzarya, in his purification process, brings a carbon asham. So let's say it was slaughtered not for its namesake, but rather to be a different asham, not to be designated as the asham of the Mitzarya. Says Rabbi Yechanan, Toin Nesachim. Still, it requires libations, like the unique halach of the asham Mitzarya, as the Mishnah says later on, the Tzadim Abayz, that the exception to the law, although chattas and asham do not require libations, but the chattas and the asham of the Mitzarya requires Nesachim. Now, so says Rabbi Yechanan, the halacha is like all other karbanas, as the opening Mishnah Masechta Zvachim says, that were slaughtered shalei lishma, that it's going to be kasher. It just hasn't fulfilled the owner's obligation. Here, you have to bring the asham, which is asham etzera, and additionally requires nesachim. Says Rabbi Yechanan, why? Shem'i ato emrekim, because if you don't say this, that you're not going to bring it with this nesachim, paslasai, you're actually going to be invalidating it, because you cannot change the Asham Etzaira to be a different carbon because it was designated to be an Asham. So it can't be a Shlamim or some other carbon. Additionally, Asham Etzaira does not get validated without Nesachim because an Asham Etzaira cannot be brought without Nesachim. So although you're not fulfilling your obligation, but the carbon is a kosher carbon, you have to bring it, and therefore it has to come with Nesachim. Now, on this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, the maskeb of Rav Menashe Bar Gada, he says, wait, Elamiat, if that's the case, then let's take Keves Haba Ima Omer, which is the halacha that we mentioned before, and that's what the Gemara brought this halacha. The lamb that comes with the barley offering of the Omer, Sheshachta Shlo Lashma, let's say it was slaughtered now for its namesake. Tehi Minchas Kefula, you should still have to bring its Minchas Nesachim, a double amount of flour. Because Shemi Ato Omer Kein Pas Lasa, if you don't say that, you're going to be invalidating it. Because you're saying it's, you're just not fulfilling the obligation, but the carbon has to be as it usually is. So there also you should say the halacha that it should require its unique halacha. So to the Tamid Shal Shachar, let's say take the morning sacrifice that comes every single day. Shashachter Shlo Lashma. Let's say it was slaughtered not for its namesake. Yehita, and should still require Shnei Gezirin B'Kayin Echad. Should still require that one Kayin bring two logs of wood, which is as is normally done in the order of the morning. Where in contrast, as the next halacha will say, the Tamid Shal Ben Abayim, actually two Kahanim were required to bring the two logs of wood. As the Gemara explains, the second Perek Masechta Yuma. But let's say the Tumit Shal Shachar should require that one kohen should bring the two logs. Shemiyato imekim paslas. If you don't say that, you're invalidating it because that's what the Tumit Shal Shachar requires. And so, like we said, the Tumit Shal Bein Abayim Shashachta Shalal Lishma. Let's say the evening daily sacrifice that was slaughtered Shalal Lishma. Yeitan Shnei Gizarin B'Shnei Kehan should require that two kohen bring two logs of wood. Shemiyato imekim paslas. Because if you don't say that, you're going to invalidate it. Just like you're saying by Hashem Etzer, why are you picking specifically Hashem Etzer? Says the Gemara, Enachadami, you're right. Elam Abai, rather Abai explains, the Chadim and Ayin Akar, Rabbi Yechanan only picked one, but you're right, every time you have a carbon, that although it's not going to be fulfilling the owner's obligation, but like the opening Mishnah Masechet Zvachim says, it's going to be kosher, so you have to do it as in its kosher way, whatever their carbon requires, in its unique halacha, you have to do. So yeah, Basham Mitzayr, that's going to require that it's going to have its halacha of Nesachim in contrast to regular Ashamas. But you're right, Tamid Shal Shachar is going to require also its halacha of the Shnei Gezer Mekayin Echad, and Tamid Shal Bayim is going to require it too. And yes, and the halacha of Aram, what we described before, the Keves Abba Ma'imer, will require that's Mechasa Kefula. But as the Gir says, Rava Amar, taking away that line that and the Aleph. Rav Amar, he says, no, that truthfully is that Rabbi Yochanan was only speaking about this unique halacha of the Hashem Atzer. And all those cases that you described will not require their initial halacha as its uniqueness that it usually has. Because Bishle Mahanach, we could understand those that you're asking from. Let's say the Kvasim of the Eimer, or the Tamid in the morning and the Tamid in the evening, that those are Eilas Ninu. They're carbon Eilas. They're totally burnt on the Mizbech. So therefore, as we continue to Mitzadim and Aleph, Eilai Chazula Eilas Chayva, if it's not fit to be considered the obligatory Eila, because the person not fulfilling his obligation, because he was done Shalai Lishma, but still carbon Eilas Nadava, it could be brought as a donated carbon Eila. So since you're not uprooting its designation of an Eila, you're allowed to change it to be as a different Eila, because initially it was designated to be an Eila. And a regular oila does not require the uniqueness of requiring double amount of flour or having two logs of wood brought for it. So it doesn't need those unique things, because it's anyways being maintained as an oila. But Allah, over here in the case of Rabbi Yechim was talking about, by the Hashem Atzaira, Eloi Mokmes Leibim Milsa, if you do not maintain its unique halacha, which we said that requires Nesachim, Asham Nadava Mi'ika, is there another type of Asham that it could be? Which would only be if you could donate an ashram, but an ashram only comes for a specific sin. And, or let's say, to permit the mitzayra to come to the machna, but you can't make that up. And therefore, the only thing it could be is a nasham mitzayra. Nasham mitzayra has to be with nasacham, and therefore that's the exception that would require nasacham. As the Gemara says, Tanika Basedja Biyechim, we have a brisa that says like a Biyechim. Asham mitzayra shashachta shalal ishmoy. This ashram of the mitzayra, which was slaughtered not for its namesake. Or another invalidation of, let's say, from its blood, was not put on the thumb and the other right parts of the mitzayra. So says the Braisa, Harezu Oil Gamizbech, it's still put up on top of the Mizbech. It's gonna be kosher. The Tan Nesachim, and it requires the libations, which is like Rabbi Yochanan said, because although it's not fulfilling the owner's obligation, like the Braisa concludes, Vitzarch Asham Achalatira, he's still gonna have to have another Asham to permit it for him to come into the Machna. However, it's still a kosher carbon, and therefore it requires its maintaining its unique identity, which requires the nesachim. Again, either like the Gemara had said before, which yes, like Abaye said, it would include all those other things to require the original identity. Or like Rava said, no, specifically here, because what else are you going to do to Asham? It's only coming for when a sin, or to permit someone to come into the Beis HaMikdash, to the Azara, which that's only, you can't make an Asham Nadava, so therefore we have to maintain its original identity, conscious of those that you would ask from where those are oilless, and therefore oilless can be brought without those unique things. But either way, we see that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, that Mashar Metzairah, even when it's done Shalei Lishma, and it's not fulfilling the one's obligation, it still will require the Nesachim that come with that.